Find something of value.
A higher education community in South Africa. Let's say the unintellectualization.
How central this humanity is.
Welcome to The Academic Citizen. I'm your host, Mahita Ikani. This is the third episode in our season called Sound Matters, which showcases a selection of presentations from our symposium of the same name. We co-hosted Sound Matters with the South African Journal of Science and the South African Research Chair in Science Communication in November 2023. Episode 2 in this season featured Luke Marafa, who took us through some of the methodological approaches and theoretical framings that they employ when listening for emotion in colonial archive research. If you haven't heard that episode yet, please do check it out, as it offers some incredibly thoughtful reflections on listening as research practice. And if you did hear it and liked it, then you're in for another archival treat in today's episode, where we'll hear from André van Wyk, a sound artist and musician who uses audio as a critical and artistic methodology to reconstruct a sense of historical place. The place that André attends to is Fairview in Gqeberha, the coastal South African city that used to be called Port Elizabeth, and the moment in time is 1960. Fairview was a neighborhood whose diversity and racially integrated character was destroyed at the behest of the Group Areas Act of 1950, one of the apartheid regime's pivotal pieces of segregating legislation. Much like the perhaps internationally better known stories of District 6 in Cape Town and Sophiatown in Johannesburg, South End and Fairview, in what was then called Port Elizabeth, also suffered ruthless removals and demolishment, which displaced Black and coloured families by destroying their homes. André's own great-grandparents and great-aunts and uncles were among the victims of those brutal forced removals. In his research-driven artistic practice, he seeks to reconstruct a sensibility of the lost family homes, which were on Willow Road in Fairview. What you're about to hear is a 5-minute soundscape created by André using original recordings. It is called A Walk Up Willow Road, Fairview, Monday, 1960. First, we'll play the soundscape, and it will then be followed with André's discussion and explication of it. Just a note that the soundscape has a gentle, quiet start, so don't be alarmed if it seems that the podcast has gone quiet. It's just the opening ambience. And by the way, you might also want headphones for this. Here we go. Thank you.
I'm André van Wyk. My presentation is called Loops Finding All That Was Left Behind, Orality, Sonic Practice, and Narrativizing the Historical Soundscape. And just to give you backstory, I enter this conversation primarily as a sound artist and a musician, and I enter most of my research with that in mind, in my positionality. It's the primary way that I think. And as someone that's been quite enamored by sound and historical study, I just thought it was good to acknowledge the auditory turn, which sort of has called for attention to how the sense of sound in all its actualizations has permeated how we think through the predicaments of the human condition. And I was uneasily located at the intersections of various things that I find interested in, such as musicology, ethnomusicology, critical theory, media studies, and general popular music and historical study. So in many cases, the field calls for an active listening to an acoustic ecology. The experience of listening is never static, but consistently shifting as one does not listen in isolation, but rather through interplay of inner and outer listening. And it brought me to, which to a lot of people in this panel already know, defined by R. Murray Schafer and Bernie Krause as the collection of sonics within a specific environment, the intersection with human perception. But in more recent developments, in soundscapes and sound studies, scholars like Samuels Menkes or Jorge Ampuchello wrote The Return to the Body, the Senses, and Embodiment as Areas of Anthropological Research and Sources of Local Knowledge, along with Abutaray's framing of modernity and global cultural economy as an intertwined collection of scapes. And it raises the profile of sound and the soundscapes as a productive arenas for research, which I believe. And I ended up viewing the soundscape as a much more fluid auditory space, which is not only experienced, but allows the individual through passive and active engagement to contribute to its creative structures. So when I engaged with the soundscape, I focused on the historical soundscape or sounds of the past and wanted to bring it together with my own career as a musician and sound artist and with all the knowledge that comes. And I always was posed questions such as, can a sounded or purely auditory historical study change the manner in which the archive is read and viewed? How does an artistic process such as the development of a soundscape, rather than the recording of a soundscape, the general recording of a soundscape, assist in recollections of the past? And I focus my research, which I do at the University of Rhodes as a MA student, it focuses on a familial story of my own, of a suburb known as Fairview, which saw mass forced removals in Port Elizabeth, or Quebec as it's now known. Firstly, and particularly this sort of story touches on my own family's history of dispossession and how one can sonically represent dispossession in many ways. So just to give a backstory on this, following the Second World War, my great-great-grandfather, Martin Louis Cousin, inherited a piece of land in Pine Road from his mother in Fairview. And Fairview was remembered as a multiracial peri-urban area. And the Van Wyk, Miller, and Cruzet families lived adjacent to each other next to the ex-mayor of Quebec, John Vieira. And the Van Wyks, who were originally from the Northern Cape, owned a property in Willow Road as well. So they owned two properties. Initially used as their home, the two families came together and merged their properties to create one which is mainly for home and one that was for work. The Willow Road property was dispossessed in 1964 after pressure from the local municipality. And they were forced to sell and move to West End, which is in the north of Quebec. But then the other property, Pine Road, was forcefully removed later that year. So the soundscape was reconstructed, recomposed by myself from various stories about the 1960s Fairview from close family. So as the 5-minute recording begins, we hear sounds of wind hitting trees, a sound marker that can be attributed to the Port Elizabeth or Quebec climate. The listener can hear the sound of a piano performance of G.F. Handel's Suite No. 7 in G minor, poorly played by yours truly, alongside sounds of antiquated sewing machines In the background, while footsteps move through the terrain. The importance of piano performance was finding out that my great aunt, Elizabeth O.C. van Wyk, was a highly trained classical pianist and teacher where on the Willow Road property. She taught piano and she had students. And the sewing machine is great uncle Frank, who was a tailor who worked on the property as well. When it comes back to Elizabeth, it's not confirmed whether she ever played this piece, but the musical landscape of post-Union South Africa would give reason to believe that it would have been in any trained pianist's repertoire. The celebration of Handel's music and its repeated historical performances established English and Afrikaner social dominance and formed part of the efforts to cement Christian Western civilization within Kobeja. It's quite important to think about how Handel's Messiah was played in many fairs, and it was a commissioned work consistently during the 1960s in order to influence the soundscape of apartheid South Africa. My project uses soundscapes such as these, which are made up by myself, to understand the nature of, particularly when it comes to colored land acquisition, ownership, and dispossession in apartheid Fairview. And as Gandhi writes, that in the post-colonial era, the remnants of colonialism have shaped knowledge and social order so much that very little can be traced or recovered other than romantic notions of the past. This privileges a particular authoritative voice about disposition, which explores the suffering through material loss rather than a greater way of life taken away by the apartheid system, which the soundscape tries to show. The soundscape enables land to be seen possibly in a variety of different ways, such as a space of spirituality, music, family, home, autonomy, and security by allowing these things to be heard. And the sort of creation of a soundscape through an artistic practice, an artistic sonic practice, I believe opens up different ways of reading what the history of dispossession is, especially in the Eastern Cape and especially in the greater Kobeja area, but also what are the greater effects. And I believe writing with sound allows for a different way of reading the past. Following up Sadia Hartman's soundscapes, open up the possibility of a counter history to position Elizabeth van Wyk's piano prowess and the richness and complexity of everyday life and local experience in that area that saw mass dispossession against just sonic harshness of the apartheid soundscape. The tools found within music composition and ever-growing audio production technology enables the reconstruction of historical scapes. The written evidence allows itself to be recontextualized into newly composed and imagined soundscapes where music played and language is spoken in different, in a particular accent, and systems of work can be sounded and reconstructed in order to open different readings of Fairview and various other places that saw the sort of disposition. And I aim to use the concept of the soundscape in the language of modern composition and sound art to capture the echoes of sounds from the past and write history through sound and re-narrativize the past through sound and sample them and replay them in a process of translation and transcription, similar to digital analog recordings of interviews and oral historical research. The reconstruction of the soundscape is both by recontextualizing archived experiences of listening, how within the interviews that I do and the research that I undertake, how people listen to the past, and can the soundscape help in writing and re-narrativizing South African history, or particularly in my case, Eastern Cape history and histories of dispossession and sonic dispossession.
As Andre's work reveals, listening is never static. sound invites and welcomes a dynamic engagement from the very act of listening. Andre's soundscape shows how audio can work to connect listeners inhabiting different spaces. But it also shows how it is possible to piece together ambient pictures of a different time. Soundscapes are a rich form that can allow for a new kind of scholarly engagement with history. They are fictions in the sense that they are made and pieced together, and that making and piecing together is a scholarly practice necessary in the face of dispossession and loss. When there's no spatial or architectural archive because the buildings were literally flattened, the power of sound and audio allows for some aspects of those spaces to be retrieved. Piecing together what the past might have sounded like, specifically in this case, the ordinary sounds of life on Willow Road, Fairview, is a deeply political act. It allows Andre to recover some sense of memory and connection to lost family spaces and to articulate painful histories. But his soundscape also allows us, people who are not directly connected with his family, the intimacy of listening in, of imagining ourselves creating the sounds of those crunching footsteps as we walk past a happy family home, with the sounds of a pianist rehearsing her favorite composition drifting out of the windows along with the breeze. This listening connects us with the humanity of those homes in that moment, and also with the pain of the destruction that we know will come once the bulldozers arrive. Andre's offering up the soundscape as a strategy for reclaiming an archive when it has been lost due to the violence of dispossession is especially poignant in today's world, where many of us may be finding it hard to be optimistic about the possibilities of collective healing and progressive, peaceful coexistence. News and social media are populated with eyewitness accounts of ever more brutal images of homes reduced to rubble in Gaza, in Ukraine, and other war zones, and of course, of the lives damaged and lost as a result. So many South Africans today still bear the pain and scars of the forced removals that demolished their homes and the homes of their ancestors 6 decades ago. In the rubble of our new age of war, with new brutal soundscapes of bombs drowning out the sounds of the breeze or of piano practice or children playing, I wonder what role soundscape may be able to play in future work that will be needed to heal and reconcile. This episode of The Academic Citizen was hosted by me, Mahita Ikani. It was produced and promoted by Fumani Dwara and edited by Andrew Burnett. The Academic Citizen is funded by the South African Research Chair in Science Communication, which is in turn funded by the South African National Research Foundation. We thank André van Wyk for his presentation at Sound Matters and for his permission to include his soundscape in this podcast. Sound Matters was co-hosted by the South African Journal of Science. The opening jingle of our podcast was designed by Victoria De La Harp. You can listen to all our podcasts, including our archive of previous seasons, at www.theacademiccitizen.org. And you can follow us on all the socials at The Academic Citizen. We welcome feedback at our email address, theacademiccitizen@gmail.com.